This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners. Let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I know that I would never be able to get the Patronus to form. It just wouldn't happen. I know it wouldn't. It's just too hard.
You give up too early.
Just way too hard. Like, I got better things to do than worry about Patronuses and trying to think of happy thoughts and
that's
whatever.
That's why there were no Slytherins inside Dumbledore's army trying to learn how to do a Patronus charm in
right.
fifth year.
Right. Screw that. I got other things to do. I'm going to go play some Quidditch. Okay. I'm good at Quidditch.
Bye. This, of course, is chapter 12, The Patronus.
It's one of my favorite chapters.
The Patronus is a kind of positive force, a projection of the very things that the Dementor feeds upon. Hope, happiness, the desire to survive, but it cannot feel despair as real humans can. So the Dementors can't hurt it.
You know, the Patronus and the Dementors are really cool, like, antitheses of each other. I just love how you would think that a Patronus would be the thing that would attract Dementors to you, but the fact that they cannot, the Patronuses feel despair, mm-hmm. and simply the Dementors can't feed off of that is mm-hmm. such a cool idea.
Yes.
And how that is a representation. It doesn't have to necessarily be this big giant thing. It doesn't have to be a wall. It's just a projection of you and what you are. Really, really cool stuff.
I agree. Well, before we get into this episode, we wanted to remind you to head on over to jointhenerdclan.com. This is a one-stop shop to get all extra bonuses. You get Blake's book club for the Outlander series. You get my book club for the Bridgerton series. You're going to get exclusive extra content, after doc stuff, the crown, keep calm and crown on. I mean, tons and tons of stuff. So if we are bringing Lumos in your time of Nox, you can join us at jointhenerdclan.com for as little as $2 a month. That's less than a cup of coffee. So come on over.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
So this episode's going to be a little bit different
because, again,
we are not going live for this episode. We're going live tonight. So what we want to do, and we are in a little bit of a time crunch for this particular episode, because I love this chapter so much, I want to talk about it for as long as we can. What we're going to do is we're going to forego the listener questions and the different perspective, just to talk about the story, talk about the things that are happening in here, to dedicate as much time as possible. We will do different perspectives tonight when you watch us live.
The next episode, chapter 13.
We will do all the listener questions that we've received over the past number of days for chapter 13. So, Mary, start us off for chapter 12, The Patronus.
Oh, just to get you guys started and to recap, Harry and Ron, not too happy with Hermione because, of course, she told Professor McGonagall, you want to check out this firebolt? Oliver Wood needs to get his priorities straight. And Professor Lupin shows Harry the Patronus charm and how to use it against the dastardly Dementors. Harry finally gets his firebolt back, and Ron finds blood on sheets, and he thinks it's scabbers.
I love how Ron just takes the little hairs and just throws it on her book.
Look at what I found.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
Straight up, yes. Oh, goodness me. Well, poor Harry. He's been without his Christmas present, and it is February. Yes. He got it. Christmas morning, literally had it taken away, and now months have passed by, and of course Gryffindor is going to be playing against Ravenclaw in just a little bit in the next chapter. Mm-hmm. So he needs it back, and of course this is something that is bothering him. It's also bothering Ron a great deal, and because of it, they are just not hanging out with Hermione for 2 months.
I kind of don't blame him. I kind of don't blame him because... that's my firebolt. You just took away my Lamborghini and you gave it to a teacher who refuses to give it back to me. And I know I got a Quidditch match. I got to practice on this thing.
I feel terribly for Hermione. You want to know why? These kids have now been besties for 3 years.
Yeah,
3 years.
All
she's doing is looking out for Harry, looking out for his well-being, seeing as how every single year she's known this boy, someone has been trying to kill him.
True. Very true.
And it's gotten so awkward that she doesn't even hang out in the Gryffindor common room anymore. She now hides in the library. Yeah,
of course
she For two months by herself, all because she was trying to do the Gryffindor right thing.
It's the nerd thing to do, and that I think you don't get between a man and his sport. You just don't do it.
You know who feels that way? Oliver Wood.
Yes. I love how Wood is like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go talk to McGonagall. I'm going to take care of it.
Oh, my favorite things are he comes up to Harry and he's like, so if the Dementors come to the next one, we can't really afford you to, you know, fall, die, do all those things. Basically, we can't afford for you to lose. And I love how Ron is the one who's just like champing at the bit to say, guess what Harry got for Christmas? He got a firebolt. And he's like, no way, a firebolt? That's amazing. Where is it? It's not here because Harry says, Sirius Black may have sent it to me and he's trying to kill me. So I don't know. And Wood just literally glosses over it.
Whatever. Don't worry about it.
Whatevs, man. But Black couldn't have bought it for you because he can't go shopping.
He's like, oh, but a firebolt. Though.
I mean, maybe if you went to like the Target Easy Pickup where they don't really check to make sure you're the person, you know.
That's
maybe,
what happened to me the other day.
Maybe.
They went to Target.
Yep.
Pickup.
Blake went to go get cat food and instead he got breast milk infused baby formula.
Yeah, in purified water.
Yep. Some new mom was very upset.
Very upset. Or some poor dad.
Yep, somebody.
Some poor dad just got smoked by that new mom.
You brought home what?
You got cat food?
I didn't say cat food.
I didn't want toothpaste either.
I knew you saw our new baby as just a pet. What are you going to do next? Bring him a litter box? So Wood thinks he can go make sense to McGonagall. And guess what starts to have fun? So this is still in January timing. Hagrid has salamanders.
Yes.
And he makes a bonfire full of them. And
it's
the kids are
frozen.
Loving it. Because, you know, those other animals died from eating too much lettuce, which I still can't stop laughing about.
Hey, how about Hermione basically bodying Harry and Ron after she's like, they're saying, yeah, Lupin doesn't look good, huh? Something's wrong.
Seriously.
Maybe he's got the COVID or something. And she says, she's like...
Isn't it obvious? Yeah, she tuts.
Yeah, she tuts at them. Like, you know, and this is why, this is how it shows you that they really, truly do need Hermione. They need her.
She figured it out.
She figures everything out.
She's like, I got this. Werewolf. Whatevs. Lupin, of course, meets with Harry. I'm sorry, Blake. Move your stuff out of the way.
Things are moving and touching and beeping. What are we touching?
Lupin wants to meet with Harry
keyboard?
At 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
No.
8 p.m. First off,
and some.
Why are kids allowed to walk around the castle at 8 p.m.?
Mm-hmm. And some teacher with a 13-year-old boy in some abandoned classroom at 8 p.m.? No.
This is not 2021 friendly.
Not 2021 friendly. But even then, it's still one of my favorite chapters.
I
love this chapter.
Completely agree. Lupin, of course, brings in a Boggart. He figures this out. Found it lurking inside Mr. Filch's filing cabinet. Tons of fun things in those filing cabinets, by the way.
Marauders' maps, like, Boggarts.
Right? I just want to go and explore.
What else are we going to have in there?
Who needs the Ministry of Magic?
Just go to Filch's office.
Seriously. No, I'm saying seriously a lot in this chapter for a reason.
Oh, look at you.
Because people do say seriously a lot. They do.
Seriously, they do.
I know. Okay, so Blake, doing a Patronus is highly advanced magic,
yes,
well beyond the ordinary wizarding levels, okay? Mm-hmm. He explains what it is, tells him the charm, tells him that he needs to be like Peter Pan and think a wonderful thought. Any happy little thought? No, not any happy little thought. Can't think of Christmas, can't think of snow, can't think of sleigh bells, off we go. No, not like reindeer in the sky. That's not going to make your Patronus fly. Mm-hmm. It needs to be a solidly, like, super happy thing. You know what's weird? Lupin just says, all right, man, so think of something happy.
And
go. Expecto Patronum. Doesn't show him the spell.
What do you mean?
He doesn't say, okay, Harry, watch me do it. Like, you bring the Dementor out.
Yeah.
And, or I'm just going to, like, expect a Patronum into thin air. Because you know the kids can do it. You don't need, like, a Dementor to have to do expect a Patronum. We see them do that in Dumbledore's Army. I would have expected Lupin to show him the swish and flick.
Well, he tells him the incantation. He says it.
Yeah, but he doesn't show him.
Got it.
So, like, I wanted to see Lupin's wolf. I want to see Lupin say, this is how it happens. Yeah. Everyone gets a different kind of creature.
Yeah.
Watch how I do it. Watch how I swish and flick. Here we go. Boom. And you see the Patronus come out of the thing. Does he not show this to Harry because he doesn't want Harry to feel bad? That Harry just makes like a little...
Well, probably because he doesn't want Harry to know that he's a wolf. He doesn't want to show the wolf. It's just another clue. Speaking of that, how freaking awesome is that? The Boggart shows itself as the moon to Lupin.
Yeah.
And Lupin's Patronus is a wolf.
Yeah.
Like the thing that Lupin hates is the thing that that protects him. I find that so poetic and it's just awesome. So cool. So cool.
Truly.
I got to read because I love reading in this podcast.
I know, that's why I just scooted back. I could tell you wanted to read.
Expecto Patronum, Harry repeated under his breath. Expecto Patronum. Concentrating on any happy memory? Oh, yeah, yeah, said Harry, quickly forcing his thoughts back to his first broom ride. Expecto Patronum. No, Patronum. Sorry. Expecto Patronum. Expecto Patronum. Something whooshed suddenly out of his end of his wand and looked like a wisp of silvery gas. Did you see that? Said Harry excitedly. Something happened. Very good, said Lupin, smiling. Right then. Ready to try it on a Dementor? Yes, Harry said, gripping his wand very tightly and moving into the middle of the deserted classroom. He tried to keep his mind on flying, but something else kept intruding. Any second now, he might hear his mother again. But he shouldn't think that, or he would hear her again, and he didn't want to. Or did he? Lupin grasped the lid of the packing case and pulled. A Dementor rose slowly from the box, its hooded face turned towards Harry, one glistening, scabbed hand gripping its cloak. The lamps around the classroom flickered and went out. The Dementor stepped from the box and started to sweep silently towards Harry, drawing a deep, rattling breath. And a wave of piercing cold broke over him. Expecto Patronum, Harry yelled. Expecto Patronum, expecto! But the classroom and the Dementor were dissolving. Harry was falling again through the thick white fog, and his mother's voice was louder than ever, echoing inside his head. Not Harry, not Harry, please, I'll do anything. Stand aside, girl, stand aside. Harry! Harry jerked back to life. He was lying flat on his back on the floor. The classroom lamps were alight again. He didn't have to ask what happened. Sorry, he muttered, sitting up and feeling cold sweat trickling down behind his glasses. I love how the author writes these sequences, especially as she does this perfect three beat where we have three specific experiences with the Dementor in the form of a Boggart. Oh, the Boggart in the form of a Dementor. By the way, can you believe that a Boggart in the form of a Dementor still has the same effects?
Yeah, because it's in Harry's subconscious.
Right,
it's not like the Dementor / Boggart Dementor, which mm-hmm. let's make a name for that. Bementor.
Bementor.
The Bementor isn't like surround sound making you think your least favorite mm-hmm. things inside your head. Like hear those things.
Sure.
That's Harry.
But I wouldn't think that the bot, it'd be like, I don't know. It's just an imposter. It's not really, it's like watching virtual reality.
let's go to the future Dumbledore quote. Just because it's inside your head, does that mean it's not real?
Oh, look at you. Good job. All right, I'm going to continue here. The Dementor glided forwards, drawing its rattly breath.
I'm just going to read the entire chapter.
I'm going to. One rotting hand was extending towards Harry. Expecto Patronum, Harry yelled. Expecto Patronum. White fog obscured his senses. Big, blurred shapes were moving around him. Then came a new voice, a man's voice, shouting, panicking. Lily, take Harry and go. It's him. Go, run. I'll hold him off. The sounds of someone stumbling from a room, a door bursting open, a cackle of high-pitched laughter. Harry, Harry, wake up! Lupin was tapping Harry hard on the face. This time it was a minute before Harry understood why he was lying on the dusty classroom floor. I heard my dad, Harry mumbled. That's the first time I've ever heard him. He tried to take on Voldemort himself to give my mum time to run for it. Harry suddenly realized that there were tears on his face, mingling with the sweat. He bent his face low as possible, wiping them off on his robes, pretending to do up his shoelace so that Lupin wouldn't see. You heard James? Said Lupin in a strange voice. Yeah. Face dry, Harry looked up. Why? You didn't know my dad, did you? I did, as a matter of fact, said Lupin. We were friends at Hogwarts. Listen, Harry, perhaps we should leave it here for tonight. This charm is ridiculously advanced. I shouldn't have suggested putting you through this. No, said Harry. He got up again.
I doubt it would have been that way, but sure, Blake.
No, there's an exclamation point here.
I see just more. No!
I feel it's a little bit more forceful.
Okay.
I don't know. He got up again. Like
You give Harry an edge.
I kind of do. It's this book that kind of does it.
Okay. Keep going.
Because I like the edge. I like cranky the fact that cranky Harry is showing up because it's so close to him. It's his parents. We're going to do this. I'm going to do this. And we're going to learn. I'm going to hear my parents again. I'm going to get this thing taken care of. He got up again. I'll have one more go. I'm not thinking happy enough things. That's what it is. Hang on. I can only imagine what Lupin is feeling in this moment if he sees James and Harry at this moment and Harry talking about James and finally having to come clean that he knew James.
Yeah. Why did he wait so long? Why is it chapter 12 and he finally says, oh yeah, I was wicked good friends with your dad.
We were besties, BFFs, if you will.
I was second in line to be your godfather, pretty much. Your mom was like my bestie.
Yes.
What the heck, Lupin? Well, seriously, what the heck? Glad you told him now.
Oh, man. But I can imagine him being like, you know what? You just talked about your dad. You just heard your dad. We were really good. Let's cut this one short, shall we?
He brings him butterbeer, and Harry almost gets caught that he's been a little sneaky sneak.
Yeah, right.
He takes it out of his bag. Oh, I got something you've never had it before, but I know you're going to love it. And Harry's like, butterbeer!
Whoa, I know that!
And he's like, how? And he's like, never mind. That was brought back to me. I've never had it in Hogsmeade. Oh, my goodness gracious. And it's during this time that Harry puts two and two together. Oh, you were wicked good friends with my mom and dad.
Yeah.
You must know Sirius Black.
Right. And I love Lupin's. I feel like I keep on saying I love. I shouldn't say that.
No, it's okay. You love this chapter.
I do.
Lerve it.
I lerve. Like super lerve.
I know.
I am super impressed. Let's put it that way.
You're Lupin's. Seriously impressed?
Seriously impressed. I'm seriously in love with his response.
There you go.
His response is great. Yes, I knew him, he said shortly, or I thought I did. And it shows you that, do you think... Well, because we know he's like helping Sirius. But do you think he really believes this? Or Lupin, does he really believe this? Or is he just saying it for the sake of saying it?
I don't really think I understand the pronoun that you were trying for this to mean.
Lupin.
Yes.
Do you think he believes, like, I knew him, yes, but I thought I knew him, or I thought I did. And we know that there's shenanigans happening on the side between the two, right?
No.
I thought there was.
No.
You sure?
That's Crookshanks.
Okay. Yeah.
You're mixing up animals.
I'm thinking about the movie, though.
No. Oh, he doesn't do anything on the side in the movie either.
I thought he does, because they end up at the Shrieking Shack, and they're like, and then they give each other a hug and everything.
Because of the Marauder's Map.
Yeah, but if he really believed that Sirius had done this, he wouldn't be hugging him.
Yes, once he realizes that Peter Pettigrew isn't dead because of the Marauder's Map.
Okay, I understand what you're saying now. All right, I get it.
So in this moment...
In this moment, he does believe.
He does believe Sirius did all this bad stuff.
Got it. Okay, I got it.
Okay. Hermione. Poor things. She has so much work, Blake. She's got arithmetic, which she loves. She's got diagrams of muggles lifting heavy objects. What does that even mean? Because they can't Wingardium Leviosa things? Like, this is how muggles move into a new house. They actually rent trucks and other people to pick up stuff. Right. Foolish things. Foolish, foolish things. Bad news, Harry. I've just been to see Professor McGonagall about the Firebolt. She got a little shirty with me, says Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Shirty. What does that mean?
I think you remove the ah.
Okay. Seem to think I cared more about winning the cup than I do about you staying alive. Just because I told her I don't care if you got thrown up, as long as you caught the snitch first. Wood. You don't say that out loud. You don't say it out loud, buddy.
Not great, Bob.
Goodness me. Okay, so he gets his broom back. Oh, here is the seriously part. Okay. I've just been looking for you in the Gryffindor common room. Well, here it is. We've done everything we could think of, and there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with it. You've got a very good friend there somewhere, Potter. Harry's jaw dropped. She was holding out his firebolt, and it looked as magnificent as ever. I can have it back? Harry said weakly. Seriously? Seriously, said Professor McGonagall, as she was actually smiling. I dare say you'll need to get the feel of it before Sunday's match. Ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure there's another seriously at some point going forward in this chapter.
I'm also pretty sure she's allowing him to have this firebolt because... She knows he needs it.
She told Flitwick, she's like, listen, I can't let Potter know, but you better wrap it up.
Wrap it up, lady.
Wrap it up, Flitwick. Oh, she wouldn't. Huh? Flitwick's in charge of Ravenclaw.
Oh.
She gave it to the enemy.
Damn her.
She figured this out. Because she's not doing the charms on it. She gave it to Flitwick and Hooch, okay? Right. And you know Hooch isn't really caring. She's out having a gin.
She's going, yeah, no, Joe, she's bourbon.
She's bourbon, whatever. She's bourbon. She's boozing.
Sprout's gin.
There you go. So she's out with Sprout, okay? So it's really just Flitwick. Do you think Professor Flitwick is really spending his time to help the ultimate seeker?
Right.
With the ultimate broom.
You know, I don't know. I don't think there's a hex on this, but I'm getting some funny vibes.
She would have been better off giving it to Snape.
Yeah, right? Because at least he doesn't have an investment in
not
this.
Not anymore. Yeah, no, now that they're not playing Slytherin right,
exactly.
right now.
Yeah.
But like, come on. Just trust Hooch with it. But you know... Even though we weren't going to do a different perspective, whatever. You know that the faculty room, Minerva's sitting there. What is Flitwick's first name?
No, I don't know.
I don't even know
Professor.
Either. She'd be like, Flitwick, come on. How much longer with this broom? Oh, you know, I just got through a little bit of it. And really, it's just sitting collecting dust. And he laughs at it.
He's been sitting on his desk with his legs up, his little teeny tiny legs, laughing.
Laugh and sing, winner, winner, chicken dinner. She probably just went in and swiped it. Was like, enough's enough.
Right.
It dawned on her.
Yeah.
She's sitting up, transformed as a cat, licking herself. And it dawns on her, what did I do?
That was really dumb.
Yep. Sneaks in as a cat into his office, swipes it, human form, gets out of there.
Yeah. See you later, Flitwick.
Bye.
Take a hike.
The end.
Hey.
Scabbers, nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm.
Blood. Cat fur.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, crap.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
Crap.
Ron just runs right in, throws it on her book.
Look!
Hey, one thing we didn't mention here is the first mention of a Dementor's kiss. There's a really... and this is why I keep going back to Harry having edge. Harry has some edge.
Yep.
Harry has edge. Harry sat stunned for a moment at the idea of someone having their soul sucked out through their mouth. But then he thought of Black. He deserves it, he said suddenly. You think so? Said Lupin lightly. Do you really think anyone deserves that? Yes, said Harry defiantly. For some things. Oh, my goodness gracious. You can't tell me Harry don't got edge. Oh, he's got all the edge.
Yeah.
He's riding on skates. He's got so much edge.
Ooh, I dig that.
So
dig.
And that conversation is an incredible conversation. Harry is asking, he spat out a bit of a butterbeer. What, they kill? Oh, no. Oh, no, said Lupin. Much worse than that. You can exist without your soul, you know, as long as your brain and your heart are still working, but you'll have no sense of self anymore, no memory, no...
I mean, literally, like, the anything. Description of depression.
Yeah, like, you just walk around.
Yep.
You walk around. There's no chance at all of recovery. You'll just exist, an empty shell, and your soul is gone forever. Lost. Oh, man. That is a brutal conversation to have with somebody, especially... when, you know, you're talking to a kid whose parents died and you know that Sirius Black, at least in your perspective at this moment, killed his parents. Or facilitated his parents' death. Man, what a conversation.
Can I just give a moment of like a fist pump for Hagrid?
Sure.
Okay, because out of everyone we've been hanging out with, everyone we know in this series... eventually we'll meet Sirius. Sirius and Hagrid, man, they stood up to these Dementors.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, neither of them got kissed yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I just... way to go to, like, keep your wits about you.
Just sticking around, you're all right. Anything else you want to talk about in this chapter, my darling?
I just don't understand why Lupin didn't do the Patronus, but you're right. If it would have been... because his is a wolf, you're right. That would have been a super-duper clue.
Of course I'm right. I'm awesome.
That's it.
All right, you want to close it out?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Thank you all so much for taking the time to listen and to bear with us if you're listening in real time. As we have been transparent, life just got a little out of sorts, and by a little I mean a lot out of sorts this past month, which has caused us to be a bit rocky in our recording schedule, but we are back in action and we are excited to continue to delve into the Prisoner of Azkaban with edgy Harry Potter.
Oh, all the edge. Skating Harry Potter. He's on the Bruins skating around on Lake Tahoe right now.
Of course, if you wanted to see more of Blake and I, you can go to MaryamBlake.com. You can find Mary and Blake Media on all sorts of social media. And of course, we ask you once again, if we bring you Lumos and the Tominox, head on over to jointhenerdclan.com.
And if you're watching WandaVision right now, got a brand new podcast out there for you nerds. It's called The MCU Diaries, and we're breaking down every episode of the MCU television shows on Disney Plus, starting with WandaVision. The first episode just came out today, as a matter of fact.
Yay.
So check that out. Go to MaryandBlake.com, and check out The MCU Diaries, essays on Marvel television.
I'm Mary.
My name is Blake.
Mischief managed.